Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is wonderful to be here tonight. You know, it felt so strange last Wednesday when we didn't have service, and it was a pretty bizarre thing, but we got snowed out. There was all kinds of snow and ice on the road, and it was just too hard to get over here. But praise the Lord, we are here tonight, and we have yet another opportunity. You just never know how many more opportunities you're going to have to be here. So praise the Lord, it is wonderful to be here tonight. Yeah. And we're going to open with a prayer right now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us this opportunity to be here. We thank Thee for this night. We thank Thee for this place that Thou hast given us to gather. We thank Thee, O God, for the word that Thou hast given us that we may feast upon. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast be here tonight, that Thou hast guide and direct us throughout the entirety of this service. Let Thy presence be felt. Let Thy will be done. Let Thy Spirit be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, I pray, O God, to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go ahead and start with number 115 in the chorus book, I Will Enter His Gates. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go to number 124 and sing the Garments of Praise. Put on the garments of praise, for the spirit of evidence. Lift up your voice to your voice to God.
lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Oh, magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And He certainly is worthy of our praise and our worship. Praise the Lord, for our God is a great God. There is none greater than Him. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 40 and sing, Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to number 34 and sing, How Great is Our God. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in Me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
We do serve a great and mighty and wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. Praise the Lord, a God who can do anything. Why don't we go to number 89 right now and sing that chorus, God Can Do Anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. It's wonderful to know our God's never stuck. He's never in a position where He doesn't know what to do. For He can do anything. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He is worthy of our praise. Why don't we go to our hymnals now and sing number 2. Praise Him, praise Him. Our melody's a praise hymnal. Number 2. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He
Jesus, who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Yes, it is wonderful to worship our Savior. And you know, each and every day we should be striving to be more like Jesus. So why don't we go to number 42 and sing, "Oh, to be like Thee," number 42. Be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, keeping the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive it, anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing. From this moment, all shall be Thine. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou.
come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we all need to be like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now at this point is take up the collection. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for thy abundant blessings. We thank thee for thy love and thy care towards us. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done. We thank thee for this place that thou hast given us where we can gather in thy name and worship thee. And we know, O God, that we would be completely helpless and lost without thee. So we pray, O God, that thou hast continued to lead us, guide us, and direct us in the way we should go. And I ask, O God, that thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for the sake of thy mighty name. And I pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we did get a prayer request here, and this is from an online listener, Healing in His Wings. She would write prayer. I guess she's been having an issue with her lungs for a month now, and she would like prayer because I guess breathing is difficult. So she's not sure what the problem is, but she would just like prayer, so we're going to pray for her right now. And I think we'll also go ahead and pray for Gordon, too. I know he could use a touch from the Lord, and I am planning to get over there to see him within the next couple days, and perhaps some others would like to join me, too. It should be nice to see him. But we're going to go ahead and pray for these two requests right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night for Healing in His Wings. I pray, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and touched her, Lord. I pray that whatever this issue is, that whatever is making her breathing difficult, I pray, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven, touch her lungs, open her breathing, O Lord. Normalize her very breath, I pray, Lord, so that she may serve thee and function properly and live according to thy perfect plan, Lord. I ask that thy healing virtues would flow. Let her feel thy touch now. Even right now, I pray. Touch her from heaven, I pray, Lord Jesus. For we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God, and that nothing is too hard for thee. So we bring this petition before thee, knowing full well that thou art able to do it, and we just pray for healing right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night for our dear brother Gordon, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and comfort him in his distress. Heal his body, we pray, whatever is wrong with there, we ask for a complete healing touch. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst heal his back, and if there be any other problems, physical problems, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst entirely heal his body. Give him the strength he needs, we pray. Work a miracle in his life. Let thy presence be felt, we pray. Move upon him with thy Holy Spirit. And I pray, O God, that he would feel thy touch now, even right now, as we pray unto thee. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song, and it's just, I don't know if anybody needs one of these. We're going to use the Red Book. We've done them before on a Wednesday night, so everybody probably has one. I don't know if Vicki has one back there. Do you need one of these? Okay. All right. And I believe the number is 305. Yes, number 305. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why don't we sing that right now? Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. He is so good to us, and I am so thankful that He reached out to us. Praise the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. Praise the Lord. Well, with that thought in mind, we will turn this over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I agree with Sam when he said it was so strange last week when we didn't have church. I know I was all ready to come. I changed my clothes and ready to go out the door. But God sends the weather too. And it's all for a reason, and we can always give Him thanks and everything that comes our way. We could just have that attitude where we just put it in God's hands and thank Him for His mercy and goodness to us, knowing that He does all things well, and oh, He knows how to direct all things. But we are glad to be here tonight, and glad for everybody here and everybody online, and we're just going to believe God to work in our hearts here tonight. Let's just pray here. Oh, Heavenly Father, again we come to You, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we so are thankful that we could cast all our care upon You, knowing that You care for us, knowing that You have the answer for every situation, every problem, oh God, every detail, Lord. There's nothing too hard for You, Lord. And oh God, You've given us such great love, Lord Jesus. You've shown such love to us, Lord. And here we are tonight, Lord. We can never praise You enough. We can never thank You enough. We can never exalt You enough, Lord. We cannot worship You enough, Lord God. Oh Lord, for that which You have done for us. Thy goodness, Thy mercy, oh God, Thy kindness is to us, Lord. For oh Lord, we were all in that deep miry clay, Lord Jesus. Oh God. We were all, oh Lord, oh, in the midst of sin, Lord. Oh God, without any hope in this world. And I thank You, God, for what You've done for us. Oh Lord, I pray that You would speak to us here tonight. Oh God, and that Your word would speak to our hearts, oh God. Oh God, for we dwell in a hostile environment, oh Lord, with people, oh Lord, who have, oh God, listened to another voice. But, oh God, I just pray, oh God, that You'd put Your zeal in our hearts, that love, oh Lord. And, oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that Your Spirit would reach out tonight, Lord. Oh God, to draw that needful one to Thee, Lord Jesus, that one who needs to come to Thee, Lord. I pray that You would draw by Thy Spirit, oh Lord, for we all, Lord, in that boat. Oh, we were all without Thee, Lord. We were all without hope at one point, and oh God, You reached out to claim us and to draw us unto Yourself. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Ask that You have Your way tonight, Lord, that You give words here tonight, that You give us ears to hear, Lord, a mind to perceive, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that Your Spirit would move, Lord God, in our hearts and change us, Lord. Oh God, for we need You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And we do love the Lord here tonight. He's been good to us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to go to Psalms 32 here tonight, and largely going to be in that psalm, and I believe it'll take us other places too, but we're going to call this, Blessed is He Whose Sin Is Covered. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing more wonderful than having our sin covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is just such a wonderful blessing. I don't think we can fully comprehend it by any means. You know, I think something will overwhelm us when we see the Lord and realize that he's truly pardoned us, and you know, he tells us, well done, and you know, we're not condemned. I think, oh wow, it really dawned on us at that moment, I think in greater finality and realization that, I mean, we could have been that goat on the left. You know, we could have so easily have slipped through the cracks and not have been counted worthy. I mean, our salvation is such a marvel. It really is. When we think how God reached down to save us, He is so merciful. And, you know, I think we all have our stories, how it was. We all have a testimony. I just know myself, and I was talking to Brother Tim today, and I mean, you know, it's just like when you realize how it was that, you know, we were just out there. I know I had parents that loved the Lord, and I thank God I had praying parents too, and I know those prayers avail much. I know that of a fact, but yet, you know, I couldn't come just because my parents loved me and just because my parents were Christians, you know, just because they were praying. That wasn't enough to make me a Christian. That wasn't enough to bring me salvation. But there was a God who had mercy, and, you know, He could have so easily skipped over me. I just know as a child I wasn't immediately drawn to the Lord. You know, I knew a lot because I was raised in a Christian environment, in a church family and all, and went to Sunday school from day one, I suppose, and all, but you know, that wasn't enough. And yet I think how it was, you know, there I was, wanting to go my own way, I thought, and all at once, God somehow got my attention. Somehow, you know, that rebellion in my heart was dissolved. Somehow, you know, He began to speak to me, and somehow I realized what I had to do, and I just remember that night so clearly. I just, wow, I couldn't wait to get to that altar and pour out my heart to repent. You know, that had to be God. He wasn't there before. You know, it was God. And so we all have that story, how He reached out and He touched us, and all at once we could see, and the blindness were off our eyes, and you know, all at once we had a different thought, you know, different values, you know, a different regard in our heart for the Lord, and wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. So we are so privileged. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 32 and just read a bit of this here. A Psalm of David, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day, heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. What a story here. You know, you think of how things were in the beginning. God created this world in great perfection, exact preciseness, exactness all the way around. There was nothing wrong with His creation. But yet, when sin entered into this world, things began to change. And I can't imagine how it was for sure with Adam and Eve, but all at once there was a recognition of sin, something that they had not known. There was an issue of fear, something that they had never known. And all at once, they realized that they needed a covering, that they were naked, you know? And they didn't have that understanding before because there was no sin. But all at once, the necessity of a covering was there upon them. And, you know, they tried what they could to cover themselves. But it wasn't enough, was it? Oh God, when he came calling for them in the cool of the day, and you know, they were hiding from God. Oh, they had never tried to hide from God before. They didn't know fear before this moment, and all at once, there they were, trying to hide, and trying to cover themselves, and you know, God said, who told you you were naked? You know, did you eat of that fruit? That forbidden fruit? And of course they had. Yes, sin had entered into the world, and you know, it took the blood of an animal to cover them. It took a sacrifice. They couldn't do it themselves. God Almighty took heart and covered them himself. But it took the blood of an animal to do that. Maybe animals, for all I know. But it was necessary because they had to have a covering. And so it is. Sin has to be covered too. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scripture tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. We all know that our own unrighteousness, or our own possible righteousness, let's put it that way, is as filthy rags. And there's nothing we could do to cover those sins ourselves. But praise the Lord, there was one who had mercy on us. And it's so beautiful because, you know, the scripture tells us that when we are yet in sin, that Christ died for the ungodly. You know, it wasn't any act on our part. There was no work of righteousness that we could work ourselves. But yet, when we were in that terrible state of sin, Christ died for the ungodly. And there was no one else who could do it. You know, the scripture tells us in Romans 5, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the wonderful gift of salvation. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Yes, praise the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful work he wrought there when he shed his blood so that we might obtain salvation. But see, it just didn't happen, did it? There was no work of righteousness that we could work upon ourselves to obtain salvation. It was going to take blood. It was going to take a sacrifice. And praise the Lord, there was one. There was one who saw our pathetic state. Oh, the sin that covered us and the condemnation, therefore, that was upon us because of that sin. And praise the Lord, he had pity on us. God Almighty, who did not have to regard us. As the psalmist said, who is man that thou would regard him? Who is man that thou would consider him? You know, he didn't have to. He didn't have to look at our lowest state and pay a price that's beyond our comprehension for our salvation. But yet he did. Yes, when we were in our sin, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's all of us. That's all of us. We're all in that category. There was nothing that we could do of ourselves. So here in the Psalms, Psalm 32, David is saying, blessed is he whose sin is forgiven, or whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a wonderful thing. You know, the law came into the world to pronounce sin, to make a declaration of sin, as we're so clearly told in the scripture. But it was going to take God to reconcile us and to put things in order. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have a status where that sin is not imputed unto us. In other words, we are forgiven. It's not charged to us any longer. It's been taken care of. We've been reconciled to God, in whose spirit there is no guile. And again, oh, it's only the mercy of God who saw us. Oh, yes, a God who put on flesh so that he could come to this world. Oh, not to be a king. Not at that moment, no. Oh, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he came with a sole intention to save us, to reconcile us, to bring us back, to cover us with his blood so that we might be forgiven, so that we might know what it's like to walk with him and to stand before him one day without sin. But here in the Psalms, the writer is talking about another condition. If we look at verse 3, obviously there was a problem here. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Obviously there was a problem in the psalmist's life at this moment. There's something that happened, and obviously there was a matter that had to be taken care of. There was a sin that had to be repented of, and here he's talking. I kept silence. There was something he was trying to ignore. It was in front of him, but yet, you know, he kept on pushing it back, and, you know, thinking, oh, well, it's all right. You know, I am just as good as anyone, or whatever all the thought process was. There was some kind of excuse that was trying to cover up that sin, obviously. He says, but my bones wax old through my roaring all the day long. God kept talking to him, obviously. He was under conviction. There was something wrong. There was something that needed to be repented of. Praise the Lord, and I'm so glad for the long-suffering of our God. Oh my, his patience, his mercy is so great. Oh, a God that stands at the door and knocks. You know, and he might seek long, and hoping that that person will open the door unto him and let him in. And he said he would come in and sup with him, and eat with him. And so it is, but that spirit of conviction so often stands there in front of an individual who tries to ignore it and push it back and disregard it, not listen. And so many people obviously live in that condition. Though it's roaring all the day long, you know, it's always there. And I remember myself before I was able to surrender my heart to the Lord, how, you know, those sins were always in front of me. And I had this fear in my heart. I knew there was a hell and all those things, but yet it was like I couldn't do anything about it. It was, you know, I didn't want to do anything about it. It was always in front of me, and I can remember trying to lay down at night, and sometimes the bed would seem like it was shaking, and, you know, there was a lot of fear and trembling, and, you know, I knew things weren't right, but, you know, it was like I was helpless. But praise God. God keeps on knocking at the door. He keeps on, you know, his tender mercy toward all of us, his long suffering, his kindness. And here it tells the psalmist was going through this condition and trying to ignore what had happened and trying to excuse it, obviously. But that hand of God was heavy upon him. He says, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Oh, he could feel. And a lot of times, you know, when people are living in the condition of sin, things don't go right, you know. They might try to do this and do that and, you know, look here and look there and, you know, just wander around just trying to find some kind of value in life and something to satisfy the soul, and, you know, looking in every nook and cranny and, you know, exploring every possibility. But there's nothing that can be done other than to yield to a wonderful God. Oh, to surrender that heart to God, to get right with God. And praise the Lord here in this example here. There was a reconciliation. Praise God, that voice didn't stop until the psalmist acknowledged his sin. It says in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. Oh, you can't hide from God anyway. People try to do that. You know, they just think, you know, maybe they go to the far corners of the earth or, you know, do this, do that, you know. Maybe go to a convent or, you know, some, I don't know, who knows what people try to do to hide. But you can't hide from God. Just as Jonah found out, there's no way possible to hide from God. And praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing. What relief, what wonderful joy when one does give it over to the Lord, when one does surrender the heart to the Lord. Oh, it is just nothing so wonderful when that burden of sin is off from your back. Oh my, it's so crippling. It's so disabilitating. But praise the Lord, we can give it to the Lord Jesus. We can acknowledge that sin. We don't have to hide it. And the psalmist David said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. And what a merciful God who is right there to forgive and to forget, to take those sins and bury them in his sea of forgetfulness. What a wonderful thing. I know in Proverbs 28, verse 13, it tells us, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. And that's a wonderful thing. But see, it's simple, but yet it's hard. The pride in an individual's heart so often keeps them away from coming to God in confession, in faith, in forsaking. So often, that's, you know, people try to get around it one way or the other with one excuse or the other, maybe trying to buy their salvation, maybe thinking that the good will outweigh the bad, and, you know, maybe, you know, that eventually somebody will pray them out of purgatory or whatever all, or they could go to Mass or something to obtain some kind of forgiveness, maybe their sins absolved by the priest. But none of that will work. None of that will work. There's only one to whom we can find forgiveness from. There's only one to whom we can confess our sins and be forgiven for them. And that's the Lord Jesus. And you know, what a beautiful thing. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We don't have to go to another. There's one mediator that we can go to confess our sins. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful relief when that luggage is off your back. And you don't have that burden crippling you over anymore. And, you know, you don't have to try to go to sleep at night and fear that you might not wake up and end up in hell. Oh, thank the Lord. We can come to God. We can confess our sins and we can forsake our sins. Know that he is faithful. Oh, and he's there. He is so willing to take those sins and to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. And praise the Lord. God is no respecter of persons. We all have that opportunity. Oh, yes, as it, you know, he draws us unto himself. We have that wonderful, wonderful privilege in coming to the Lord. And it is so necessary. The way of a transgressor is hard. You know, they might think that they're enjoying life and doing the things that please them, but oh my, and I've seen some of the results of sin. It's not pretty. Oh my, it can be one thing after the other, one long chain that doesn't seem like it's ever going to snap. And the only way it can snap is to give it to the Lord and surrender and turn everything over, leave that sin behind, Stop that way of thinking. Stop that way of living. Coming to the Lord and humbling yourself at the cross and asking Him to take over and to remake you and to change you, to forgive you. Praise the Lord, He's so able to do that. And you know, so often maybe there's problems like that. You know, it's not just a once in a lifetime thing, but you know, it's a continual thing. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. He tells us in Psalm 66. It's so necessary to come before the Lord faithfully, and you know, anything that tries to come into our lives, it has to be taken care of. There is no covering for sin other than the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can forgive and forget and take care of that penalty that must be paid. But praise the Lord, He knows how to do that. Praise the Lord. You know, just again, as you know, it tells us here, the psalmist said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Then it continues here in verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Oh my, you know, so many people put off the thing that is most important. So many people neglect the thing that they need to put ahead of everything else. And of course, we're told in the book of Hebrews, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? There is going to be no escape if that sin has not been taken care of. If that blood is not covering our sin, if we're not clothed in the righteousness of our Heavenly Father. But praise the Lord, that cry can go out. That cry, that plea for His mercy, it can come out from our heart. The Lord hears that cry. And praise the Lord, He makes a way for us. Oh yes, it says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Oh my, it's so important to give this over and not to neglect so great salvation. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. If a person, if a sinner, if the wicked will only forsake their way and their wicked thoughts and return unto the Lord. But the necessity is to seek the Lord while He may be found. The necessity is to call upon Him while He is near. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And that's a quote from Isaiah 49. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And yes, this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day of salvation. And we are so blessed that we can live in this period of time. You know, yes, that scripture is quoted from Isaiah 49, verse 8. I want to look at that a minute here. It says in verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And praise the Lord, that's what God did. He brought forth a covenant in His blood, a new covenant. a covenant to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. In other words, it was his plan to bring back, to restore what the devil had taken away, what the devil had destroyed. Oh yes, and it is time to reclaim the things that the enemy has tried to take from our lives even. Oh, so often he has the advantage. We give him the advantage, and we don't need to. We have great strength and power over the enemy. And he baptized us with the Holy Ghost. He gave us a power to overcome and to be strengthened. And when he came to this earth as the Son of God, as our Savior, as the Lord Jesus, he came to set the prisoner free and to bring deliverance to them that are bound. Oh, yes, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Yes, he came to set the captive free. Oh, yes. And oh, yes, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, yes, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. And we sing that song tonight to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning. Oh, yes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He gave that to us. Oh, yes, not that we deserved it, but that is his desire, that we could live in victory, that we could have hope, that, oh, our mourning could be turned to joy. That spirit of heaviness turned to the garment of praise. Oh, yes, the Lord knows how to take those things that try to creep up in our lives and oppress us. He knows how to take those bondages and turn them around. It says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Yes, a life that is in sin doesn't glorify the Lord. It's going to take a new life in Jesus, a life that is free from sin, a life that is living in victory to glorify the Lord. Oh, yes, but that's why he died, that we might have salvation, that we might know what it's like to have hope, to become new creatures in Christ. Oh, yes, it tells us here in Isaiah 61, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. That's what a restored life does. When you begin to reclaim the things that the devil has tried to sneak away from us, to take advantage of us, to hinder us, oh, to bring us down. Oh, yes, we can claim those things in the name of Jesus. We can have power over the adversary because we've been bought with a great price. And you know, it tells us also, as we were reading there in Psalms 49, oh yes, as our God, or excuse me, in Isaiah 49 rather, as our God was bringing forth that new salvation, that new covenant in his blood there in Isaiah 49, verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Oh, yes, he came to set us free. He says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy in them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far and low, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Yes, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And Jesus said, oh, as he came forth to minister, to seek to save those that were lost, to deliver those that were bound. And that's what he did. And you know, they begin to marvel at his works as he began to set the captives free, as he began to bring deliverance to them that are bound, as he began to heal the sick, raise the dead. Oh, he said in Luke 11, verse 20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, No doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Oh, it took the finger of God. Oh, just the finger of God to cast out devils. But that was a sign that the kingdom of God had come, that the restoration was upon us, and that ability to come boldly before that throne of grace was now going to be made available for those that would seek the Lord, that would come unto God. Oh, what a beautiful thing. And there also in Luke 11, it tells what our Heavenly Father did for us. The man Christ Jesus. It says, verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. And Jesus came to spoil the enemy, the one that had attacked each and every one of us, who had hindered each and every one of us, who had put the temptation of sin in front of us and tormented us with his continual temptations and means. But the Lord Jesus came to save us. And what Jesus did, he spoiled those principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, and he triumphed over them in it, as it tells us in Colossians, the second chapter, in verse 15. That's what Jesus did, so that we could live in victory, that we don't have to be hindered, that we can know what it's like to be free from all the fangs of the enemy, the old devil. Oh, he was cast out. And Jesus said too, John the 12th chapter, verse 31 and 32, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that's what happened in Calvary. Jesus was lifted up on that cross. But at that moment, when the enemy thought perhaps that he had won a victory, no, it was the other way around. Oh, there was a great victory that was won, because Jesus on that cross was taking care of our sin. He was atoning for our sin. He was paying a price for our sin so we could come back to him. And oh, that old prince of this world was cast out of heaven. Then and there, it was a finality. And there was going to be a difference. There was going to be a difference. He couldn't torment day and night. There was going to be a way that the children of God could triumph over the enemy. And you know, it speaks of that in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Oh, what a day it was. There was a war in heaven. That's what was happening on that cross. Tells us in verse 7, Revelation 12, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They were completely cast out. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Oh, praise the Lord. Great victory was won on the cross. Oh, yes, that old serpent, that old dragon was cast out. All that deception, all the things that he had done to interfere. Oh, there would be a difference at this point. And it tells us in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Oh, there's a difference. He's not there to accuse us day and night anymore. No, there's something that stands in the way of that accusation. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins have been covered by that blood. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what Jesus did for us there on the cross. And what a wonderful day that was when he worked, oh, on our behalf to bring us salvation. Oh, yes, so that we could have the advantage, so we could live above the hindrances and all the attacks of the enemy, so that we could come boldly to that throne of grace and obtain mercy, so that we could bring our sins to him, confessing them, forsaking them, knowing that his blood was sufficient to cover them completely and entirely. And so it tells us back in Psalms 32, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Oh yes, we all had to get to that place where we humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We all had to get to that place. And unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Oh yes, we saw the Lord when he could be found. Oh, praise the Lord, because it's going to expire. There's going to be a day when time is going to be no more. It's going to be impossible to come to the Lord Jesus. But praise the Lord, the door is still open. That opportunity is still here. We can still come to him. And praise the Lord, what a difference it makes when those sins are covered. Oh, yes, when we're covered by the blood of that new covenant. It says, surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. And it says in verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Oh, we find a sanctuary. We find a hiding place in God. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Oh, we sang a bit about those songs of deliverance tonight. Oh, yes, we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Oh, when his presence comes down and the victory is won. And, you know, there's something about being able to sing in the spirit and with the understanding to sing those songs of deliverance. Oh, yes, we were all once in that miry clay. Oh, yes, we were all in that horrible pit that, oh, the psalmist talks about in Psalms 40. But praise the Lord, God made a way. He brought us up also out of that miry clay, out of that horrible pit. And he set our feet upon a rock. Oh yes, that rock, Christ Jesus. He set our feet upon that rock. That rock doesn't move. It doesn't change. It's stable. It's not going to wiggle. And you know, cause us to fall if we're resting on that rock. And he established our goings. And you know what else he did? He put a song, a new song in our mouth. He put something that could come forth from our spirit. Because we've been redeemed. We've been set free. We can now worship in spirit and in truth. It says, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, that song that comes from our heart. That song that only the redeemed can sing. Oh, yes, and I know there in heaven. Oh, when we stand before God, that song that's going to come from our being as we worship the Lord. You know, that song that only the redeemed can sing. Oh, as we stand there on that sea of glass. Oh, having gone past this world, having overcome, having been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that song. Oh, yes. He puts it in our hearts even now, that song of praise to our God. And you know, great things can be overcome when we praise the Lord, when we rest in him. Oh, yes, when we give him all. You know, we find that hiding place, that little sanctuary with him. Oh, that place where he becomes our refuge and our strength, that very present help in trouble. As it tells us in Psalms 46, it says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We know our God. We know that He's with us. And no matter what happens, He's there. He's going to make a way for us. It says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in that 46th Psalm, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. That sanctuary, that place of safety in the Lord. And you know, it's not just going to a particular place to find it. It's when we rest in the Lord. That little sanctuary could be that chair by your bed, or on your bed, or you know, in the car, or down there by the river, wherever it is that you find the Lord, wherever you find His presence. That's it, your sanctuary. That's the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. And praise the Lord, He puts that river within us, that living water within us, those wells of salvation, the Holy Ghost that He puts in us that make glad the city of God, the people of God. We have a reason to rejoice in the Lord. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, what a wonderful place when we're in God. Where our feet are established on that rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, He's in the midst of His people, and she's not going to be moved. There's something settled and stabled. Oh, something that's lasting. You know, everything in this world is flexible. It's, you know, forever changing. And people expect you to change with the trends and, you know, the seasons. But God doesn't change. And you know, His word doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven. It's not going to be altered. It's not going to be compromised. No matter who it is that tries to rewrite it, it's not going to work because God wrote it. And it's forever settled. It's forever established. Thank God for it. Because everything we know here in this world, it seems, moves, changes. Varies. You know, there's very little, few things that are constant. People change, trends change, traditions can change. But God is the same, and He is in the midst of His people, and He knows how to make us glad. He knows how to compass us about, to cover us about with those songs of deliverance, all those wonderful songs that come from our heart. And you know, oh wow, you might be in the midst of trouble. But when those songs come from our heart, everything can change. Oh, it's a wonderful time. I know, I was talking to my dear sister in the Netherlands, Anna Marijke, and she was just telling me how God had put a song in her heart and how she was working with some handicapped people, and she perceived her spirit that some of them were demonically oppressed, or even maybe completely possessed. And God began to put a song in her heart, and she could feel those oppressive spirits beginning to leave. Oh, the mercy of God as we rejoice in our salvation, in what He has wrought for us. Oh, yes, I remember not so long ago that day when all those lights were on in my car and the cruise control wasn't working. And you know, it didn't seem like anything was wrong, but everything was strange. But yet, other than the cruise control wasn't working for sure. But all I knew is God put a song in my heart. I just remember I was going to Madison, and I was just singing all the way to Madison, and I remember going to the store, and I was still singing, and there in the co-op, and I don't know, you know, the Lord puts it in your heart, you don't care anymore what anybody else might be thinking. It's just there. I mean, the praises of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, you know, the complete happiness that He gives us, when that joy is deep within. And I praise the Lord, when I came out in that store, everything was different. The lights were all off on the car, and cruise control was working, and I don't know what God did, but everything changed. That's what those songs of deliverance could do for us. You know, there were, in the 16th chapter of Acts, Paul and Silas in prison. Oh yeah, they've been unjustly put in prison. There at midnight, though, it tells us, even though I'm sure they were bound, you know, their feet, all put in those fetters and in their hands and all this and that, and guards are at the door, but they began to sing. They began to sing praises, and it tells us that the other prisoners heard them singing there at midnight unto the Lord, in spite of the pain that they must have felt because they had been beaten unjustly. Oh, there were stripes on their back, and maybe they were bleeding, but somehow they began to forget that. They got into the presence of the Lord, and you know, everything began to change. When the glory of the Lord comes down, everything begins to change. When you feel His presence, we know we're in His sanctuary. We're at peace, and nothing can disturb us because the Lord is there with us. And what a wonderful thing. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, the Lord delivered Paul and Silas that night. Oh, yes, He sent an earthquake. Oh, yes, and they were loosened from those bonds, from those fetters. Oh, they were loosened. Oh, yes, I'll tell you what. Those in charge didn't know what to do. But, Paul called out and said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. And praise the Lord, that warden that night was, he took them out, he bathed their wounds, and they began to minister to him. Oh yes, they began to minister to that man, and God talked to his heart, and praise the Lord, he and his whole family received salvation. Yes, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, and I believe they received the Holy Ghost. God did a wonderful work that night. Those songs of deliverance. Just think what a difference it made. They could have sulked. They could have moaned. They could have groaned. You know, they could have complained. You know, it could have been such a different attitude there with Paul and Silas. But instead, they gave it over to the Lord. They found that little place of sanctuary with the Lord. They found that hiding place. They began to worship. And I'm sure the glory of the Lord came down. The presence of the Lord came down. And God was well pleased and sent an earthquake. And they were delivered. They were delivered. And not only them, but, oh yes, that warden was delivered and his family from the chains of sin and the bondage that he had known. What a wonderful thing, Selah. And then continuing here in Psalm 32, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. And praise the Lord, that's reasons for the Holy Ghost to lead and to guide us into all truth, to show us things to come. There is very, you know, distinctly told us there, Jesus himself wrote that in John the 14th chapter, that the Comforter was going to come, and the Comforter would lead and guide them into all truth, and they would be led by the Comforter, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that came to dwell. And praise the Lord, it happened. Oh yes, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And that's what he does. He puts the Holy Ghost within us to lead us, to guide us, to show us things to come, so that we can be led, not by the whims of man, but we can be led by the Holy Ghost. And then it tells us here in verse 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be hid in with bit and brittle, lest they come near unto thee. Oh, I'll tell you what. We're living in a time when they're seeking to control us as human beings. You know, Sam writes in his newsletter all the decrees of a man and what they plan to do in 2030, if not sooner, and how, you know, they want to regulate every aspect of every human's life. They want every person to be accounted for, you know, like there's no hiding place at all. You know, everybody, you know, we want to know when you're sick, we want to know when you do this, when you do that, and, you know, what you teach your children, and, you know, where you go to church, if you go to church, and, you know, they want to know every detail of a person's life. And, you know, it just seems like things have changed, that already there's attitudes. There's people walking around like robots and zombies. And again, Brother Tim was telling me that he's been seeing people wearing these T-shirts that say, obey, obey. Oh, yeah, we know we're to obey God in His Word, but I don't think that's what those T-shirts are talking about. I think there's a spirit that's risen up. And people have given themselves over to that spirit. And it's a controlling spirit. Oh, yes, signs on cars like Dragon 7 and all this and that, things that are obviously in front of us. And people that want to be regulated and be put into a new world order. I'll tell you what, that's not of God. Oh, I know this morning when I was in prayer, it just dawned on me. You know, I was thinking how the scripture tells us that how the children of God are led by God and the need to be led by the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking here this contrary spirit is trying to work its way into this world. And you see so many people that have given their hearts over to it already. That controlling spirit that wants to counteract what God does in a life. Instead of being led by God, there's the old devil who's still trying to rise up. He knows that he has but a short time. He knows that his day is coming. It's going to end. So he's going forth to conquer and to win as many as he can. And so many have given their hearts over to that demonic oppression, to that spirit of Antichrist. Oh, it's very much in the world, even at this very moment. But we don't want to be like the horse or the mule. God gave us a mind. He gave us the ability to perceive. And if He's talking to our heart, oh, then how important it is to listen to the voice of the Almighty One who stands at the door and knocks, oh, who bids us to yield our lives, our hearts to Him. Oh, how important it is. That day is coming when the enemy is going to be defeated. That second Psalms is all about that. Oh, yes, because I see these things on the horizon. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Yeah, they got a vain idea, all right. Oh, yes, and they're raging. It says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Oh, yes, there's an attempt to overcome God. Oh, yes, the devil wanted to be like God. That was his downfall when that pride entered into his heart, and all at once he thought he was going to be like God. But there's none like God. And yes, oh, the devil has his end coming, that's for sure. It tells us here in Psalms 2, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Oh, yes, that day of judgment is coming. It says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Oh, they're not going to stand before God. Oh, God is coming. Oh, he's coming on that white horse. He's coming to conquer. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Yet there he is! You know, in spite of their attempts to overcome him and to prevail, oh, to fight against the Almighty One, there he is, oh, coming to conquer. And there's going to be none. Oh, my, there's going to be none Oh, that can stand against him. There is none that can prevail against him. It tells us in Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to put a one world government together. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. But praise God, it tells us the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And praise the Lord, there's an army that comes with him on white horses. Oh, there's his children, oh, coming forth on those white horses, oh, coming with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It says, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. It says, God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. It's God who's in charge in spite of all the decrees of man and their documents and their regimentation and all their plots and all their planning. Oh, they sit in their round circle and try to see what they could do and how they can have this control and how they can have their verdicts carried out. But yet there's one. God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Oh yes, his word is forever settled in heaven. Nothing is going to change the mind of God. And behold, he's going to come. He's going to come. They will make war with the beast. Or they will try to overcome the Lamb of God. He is going to make war with them. And he, our God, and his people will overcome. Yes, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be a wonderful overcoming. As it tells us in the 19th chapter of Revelation, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Oh, yes, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, the Lord Jesus came to this world, Son of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, yes. Oh, that psalm, that second psalm, yes. Here comes our God with his rod of iron. It says in the Psalms, oh yes, there's nothing's going to change the Almighty One as he comes. He has, oh yes, he's going to tread the winepress. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. His fierceness, his wrath is going to be outpoured. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh yes. Yet have I set my gate upon my holy hill of Zion. In that Psalms, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. But God's going to break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. It'll seem like nothing when God begins to outpour his wrath. And how much better if they would come to him in repentance. How much better if they would seek the Lord while he may yet be found. It says, Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Oh, people don't know what the wrath of God is like. We have descriptions of it. It's not going to be a pretty sight if you're not in God. Your sins are not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not clothed with his righteousness. It's not going to be a pretty sight. It's time to make your life right in the sight of God. It's time to kiss the Son, to come to him, to repent, to turn away from all the evil, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, it's going to be a different story for those that have their trust in the Lord. As Psalms 32 is being completed here, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him around, compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Oh, it's a wonderful thing what the Lord has done, how he took our sins and how he has redeemed us. Oh my, that they might be covered in his blood, that atonement was made so that one day we can stand before him and not fear. There's a description of all this in Micah, the 7th chapter. Verse 16 says, nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Yes, that moment is coming when they're going to try to hide from God. They're going to realize that they have no covering for their sin. They're naked in the sight of the Lord. All things are open and naked in the sight of him of whom we have to do. And here it is, that moment when all at once they realize it's late. It's too late. They're not covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all at once they're going to try to hide from him, crawl into the caves, to the holes, like worms of the earth, trying to hide from God. It says, they shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Oh yes, fear like none have ever known before. God coming with vengeance. God coming to judge. God coming in wrath. But praise the Lord for those that are covered with the blood of the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. It tells us in verse 18 of Micah 7, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. He paid such a price for us, that we might come to him, that we might know him as Lord and Savior, that our sins might be covered by the blood of the Lamb. But see, the necessity to come to the Lord, to not delay, to not to be hindered, because we know that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And that moment is coming when it's going to be too late. And the time of his wrath will be poured out. Oh yes, when that angel shall stand, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and proclaim that time shall be no more. Oh, the day of God's vengeance, the day of his outpouring of his wrath. But praise the Lord, we can find a hiding place in the Lord. Praise the Lord, our sins can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, the door of salvation is still opened. And yes, he stands at the door and knocks. You know, if any man will come unto me and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. If any man will come, if he'll open that door is still open. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that need to acknowledge one's sin. That need to surrender unto the Lord Almighty. Not hiding the sin, but coming to that place. Oh, that place of reconciliation. That place of mercy. That place of atonement. That place that He's provided for us. Oh, what a gracious, wonderful Savior that came to seek and to save those that are lost. Oh yes, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to have mercy on us. You know, he could have forgot about us and then, you know, just let us go our own ways, our own manner. But praise the Lord, if we will come to him in faith, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, the provisions that he's made, yes, that we could repent and turn to him. We could go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins and receive the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we are so blessed. Oh, there is no God like unto our God that covers our sin and hides it in the depth of his sea of forgetfulness. There is no God like that, so gracious, that pardoneth our sin if we will just but come to him. Oh, praise the Lord. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. In my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, oh Lord, for you covered us, oh Lord, with thy blood. You've given us a wonderful opportunity, Lord Jesus, to come boldly before thee, oh Lord, unto thy throne, Lord, not unto another, Lord, oh, but unto thee, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to hearts tonight, Lord. Oh God, if there's any, oh Lord, that yet need to come to thee, Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that they would lay down, oh Lord, their sin before thee, that they would not procrastinate or wait, but Lord, I pray that they would come to you, Lord. Find you the living waters. Find that sanctuary. Find that place, oh Lord, where their sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd work in hearts, oh Lord, that you'd work in all of us, Lord, oh God, and give us a zeal, oh Lord, and oh God, help us, oh Lord, to examine our hearts, examine ourselves to make sure, Lord, that there's nothing, oh Lord, that would separate us from you, Lord. Oh God, for now is the day of salvation. Now is oh, that door of that acceptable time, Lord, when we can come to you now. I thank you in Jesus' name and praise thee, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God. Amen.
praise the Lord. If you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we're going to go to number 270 and sing Nothing But the Blood.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.